Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, our VFN Radio audience as well, and our Christian Television Network audience on the Gulf Coast,
That's right.
Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Make sure you catch us in your local broadcasting and cable companies there, and we are there for you, hopefully bringing some light conversation to what's going on. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
If you missed our earlier program, if you want to get a perspective of what's happening on your borders, you want to make sure you catch our previous program talking about, you know, that mercy and justice. You can find it at VFNTV.com, and you can watch it or you can listen to it. But you want to be able to get a perspective. Once you start seeing what's going on, your heart's going to be moved. You're going to forget about all the politics. You're going to say, wait a minute, we already know what to do. God told us what to do. Pastors gathered together on the border. You, Americans, are sending resources being delivered to them, and they are ministering compassion to these families in the name of Jesus. And although the feds are trying to keep them out, that the reports are that the federal government was not letting, they're not letting any pastors get near these folks. And wow. They said, we're going to train up our own clerics.
Really?
Yes. Wow. And one nun, she pushed her way in. You can go back up, you can see about this. And it's like, they're just stepping up. I don't think so. This is we the people, and they're going in. But you're seeing what the motive of many people are. But the thing is greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It's time for us to obey God. Mm-hmm. You'll be touched. Your heart will be touched. You'll be challenged as these pastors were and as we were when we actually saw what's going on. And you're going to want to participate in what God's doing on the border. Revival is coming to America. Third Great Awakening revival coming to America. And Texas is a key hub state for what's going to take place. And we're beginning to see the tremors, if you would, of awakening. And it'll begin with Isaiah 58. When God will respond to us when we respond to him. And that's what's happening in Texas. You want to be a part of that. So you can say, dear God, I broke loose from the religion and the tradition and the narcissism, and I laid my life down for others, and for the wanderer, for the orphan, for the fatherless, for the naked, for the hungry. Mm. And this is a perfect time for us to be what God's called us to be. And it'll make sense to you. You're going to start seeing young people just come, and they're going to get so involved because they were looking at what that was, and they're going like, this makes no sense. As one pastor said that's on the Texas border down there, he said, I realize I've been preaching from the pulpit, but Jesus didn't say anything about preaching to each other. Mm-hmm. He told us to go. Mm-hmm. And that's what children, young people want to just do the work of the ministry. And I'm excited about this whole wave of young folks that are going to be coming and that are coming and that they're going to say, this makes sense. Jesus said, do this and you're doing it. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Want to do it. Also, we're going to be talking about this new, the Supreme Court made another ruling against some of the violations of what the executive branch has been doing, pushing, just changing law by the stroke of a pen. I got a phone, I got a pen, and I got Valerie. And changing, and I'm so proud of the Supreme Court. We have the Hobby Lobby ruling, which is constitutional. Somebody says, well, that's a Christian rule. No, it's a constitutional ruling, and the Constitution allows Christians to exist.
That's right.
And to worship Jesus Christ and to honor our God. That's why you want to know about the Constitution. And if you haven't yet went to VFNTV.com and go to the VFN Torch and look at Original Tent, begin to listen and watch those segments, because you got to begin to get an understanding of what God has allowed this country to why he allowed it to be.
That's right.
Mm. And it's one nation under God. And if it's not under God, it won't be anymore.
That's right.
And so we have to begin to see how to get it back there. And so, but with it, with the health care, the Affordable Health Care Act and the Obamacare, they call it, they're actually, because have you not been watching? I mean, haven't you been watching? You're watching things. It's like, okay, that's illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And then we look at our leaders who are the makers of the law, right, John?
Yeah.
And then they say, you just broke the law. That's not good, is it? And nobody says anything.
Nothing. Silent. Eerily silent. And you're thinking, did he really just say that? Are they really just passing this? And no one's not saying it. There's no outrage. And you're seeing a consistent eroding of our rights. while everybody's silent.
And then you see the media. Then you see the media that is then to the media who actually I thought knew something.
What happened to the journalists? I mean, what happened to journalism?
You know, First Amendment, you know, says that the freedom of the press, so the press can actually go and stick a mic in your face and say, didn't you just break the law?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you just break the law? But they say, this is great. We really think this is good. It's like, what, violating the law and the Constitution? Didn't you just put Jimmy in jail in our city neighborhood for violating the law because he had some marijuana and you locked him up? And then our leaders are violating the law and we're not even saying anything about it. You got to let Johnny go. We got to start letting folks go. If our leaders are lawless, I mean, think about it. And Proverbs talks about this. You know, people grind their teeth.
You got to be careful. Yeah, because we have lawlessness will spill out in the land when they realize, wait a minute, you know,
right?
You're locking me up for 50 cents and this is like, you know, $1 trillion, you know what I mean? That type of thing.
It's like that one pastor, I believe she's a pastor sitting outside of Dr. Avita King in Texas, and she's saying, listen, there's a lot of people being treated unjustly.
Yeah.
And that's unjust. When our leaders break laws and they get rewarded and paid, but when our citizens break law, they go to jail.
Yeah.
You know, that makes a big difference. The justice should be equal.
Across the board.
Like, you know, equal justice for all. And so there's three branches of government. I know I talk about this often, but we need to understand this because the narrative we got from Washington, D.C. is there's just the president. And then you have this other thing that's in my way that Valerie Jarrett, my assistant, said on CBS News, I believe she said, or 60 Minutes. She says that it's my job to go around Congress. I believe you can see this on the VFN Torch. And so that's a branch of government. That's actually, that's your representative. That's who you sent there to represent you. One for every 700,000 folks in your state goes there. And that's the closest you get to representing you. And that's why they have to run every 2 years, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Because you want to change that out if they don't listen up.
The appearance is that the Congress works for the executive branch,
right.
with the executive
branch.
So
I got my pen and my phone, and I'm going to go out to the people. And it's like, you do. They're right across the street.
Yeah.
It's called Congress. We sent them there to represent us.
Right.
And the narrative's been pushed so long now, you might think that's right. But the truth is, there's a reason why the government was designed this way, because you can get a majority of folks who are caught up under the pressure, who are caught up in emotion, who buy into something like, say, let his blood be on our head. Mm-hmm. What happened to Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they were talking about, should I crucify the murderer or should I crucify the Son of God? Mm. And people got caught up. They got caught up. And that's what you'll see. You'll see people get caught up and people say, you know, 51% said crucify America and do away with the Constitution. It's like, what the guys across the street, what did the Congress say? The ones who are actually supposed to be reading everything. What did they say? What do they say? Because we sent them there to represent us. So they're going to constantly read everything, know everything, and come back and meet with us. We're going to talk and we're going to send them back to represent us. And don't bypass them because they are us.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have the executive branch, which is the president, which is one person. And he has a lot of staff around him. But it's him or her, but presently it's been men. That's the president. It's called the executive branch. And then you have this other branch called the legislature branch, which is Congress. You have the House of Representatives and you have the Senate. And those are your representatives. You have two senators for every state. So since we have 50 states, not 51 like I heard in the past.
Or 57.
Yeah, I think it's more than that.
Yeah, we're not going to say who said that. But John knows better. No, that means if there's 50 states and there's two senators for every state, that means your state has two senators. If you're Rhode Island or you're California, you have two senators. And so that's one side of Congress. And then the other side has a lot more folks in it because it represents 700, every one of those men or women represent 700,000 people from your state. And so you can see where the House of Representatives has a better measure of what you're thinking and what you want because they're listening to you continually. Now the senators, you know, it's going to hard for two men or two women to hear from all, you know, a couple million folks in your state. But those House, they need to listen, and laws and taxes and everything is supposed to, I believe, originate in the House because that is actually hearing from you. So if the Senate does do something, I think they're supposed to send it back to the House to get their approval, which is like sending it to you. Mm-hmm. Well, that's Congress. well, this is what the president's saying, and this is what Valerie Jarrett, his assistant, is saying. You know, she says, I'm here to go around Congress. I'm here to go around the people of America. That's what that is.
Yeah.
And when you see, he says, well, I can't, if Congress is not going to work with me, I'm just going to just do it through executive order. Well, this is what's really being said. Since the American people's not going to work with me, I'm going to take this small fringe element out here and put cameras on them and look like a lot of people are saying this. But what people are really saying is what's in Congress, because that's who the representatives are. That's who they voted to go there. Liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican, independent. They sent them folks there.
Mm-hmm.
And so just because you see seven people on the street with a sign and a mask does not mean that's what America's saying. America's saying what they what the Congress is saying. And right now, America's saying in Congress, overwhelmingly in the House of Representatives, is that we're going in the wrong direction. And we need to stand up for Israel. We need to get back to our original intent of our nation. And when people and when you see people oppose that, when you see executive branch oppose that, you have to understand, they're opposing you. That's your representatives. And the other branch, we're about to go to break because we're going to come back in a moment. We're going to talk to you about this other branch of government. So the legislative branch, they actually write laws. They write the law. So you have the House of Representatives, then it passes in the Senate, and then it goes over to the president, the executive branch, and he can either veto it, he can sign it into law, or he can let it sit on his desk for how many days? 10 days. Thanks. And and it becomes a law without him signing it, or he can write an executive order, and in 90 days it automatically becomes law. And so, but this third branch of government, you got to understand this third branch, because the legislative branch, which is Congress, and the executive branch, they're equal. Say that with me. They're equal. Even though one might have a bigger bully pulpit, they're equal. Even though CNN doesn't put the camera on this other branch of government, they're equal. And there's another branch of government that's equal to each of them. It's called the judiciary branch. And their responsibility is to find out, because the Congress and the Congress, they took a pledge, the president took a pledge to uphold, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States from enemies, foreign and domestic. They took a pledge. But what they're going to do is, whatever they do, it goes to the Supreme Court. And they just make sure that they're upholding the Constitution. Mm-hmm. They make sure they're defending the Constitution. And what you're going to find out in a minute with Dr. Ben Carson, when they just voted, the Supreme Court says, you're not upholding the Constitution. This is unconstitutional what you did. And that whole branch of government called the judiciary branch undid what both other branches did. Because why? Because all three of them are supposed to uphold the Constitution of the United States. You gotta hear this. It's powerful when we come back. Dr. Ben Carson.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Ever had one of those days? This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute, and Sherry Rose Shepherd shares a lighthearted account of a time when someone doubted her credentials as a real-life beauty queen.
When I first won the crown of Mrs. United States, my son was in kindergarten, and in kindergarten, the big deal is show and tell. So he couldn't wait to go to school, and he says, everybody, my mommy's the new queen of the country. And I came to pick Jacob up that day, no makeup on, my hair in a bun, and gray sweats. And I went to pick him up, and his teacher comes running down and goes, this is so cute. Your little boy loves you so much that he actually believes you're Mrs. America. I said, I am. She said, you're kidding.
Well, it's good to keep perspective on life. And you can hear more from Sherry Rose today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
Jesus himself said this. He said, the verdict is in. Bam. I mean, you know, you remember when the jury comes in and they The judge, order in the court. They open the little piece of paper where your whole life can just like, what? And it opens it up and the verdict is in, and Jesus says, some people just love the prince of darkness. They just love darkness. They love the deeds you could do in darkness. There's some folks that just love Lucifer's stuff. You just dust your feet and you move on. This is the relationship. You can't, if you try to force somebody to have a relationship with God, you don't even have a concept of Him, and secondly, you might not even know Him. Besides, forced relationship by our own laws is called rape. You have to want to be with God. It's a choice, which is so cool because God wants to be with you.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're going to go right into, you got to see this video from Fox News where Dr. Ben Carson is being interviewed about the Supreme Court ruling against what the executive branch was just pinning laws. They're just kind of just making laws up, changing things. And realize this, along with the Hobby Lobby case that went before the Supreme Court, what they're upholding is not the Bible. It's important to understand this. What they're upholding is the Constitution. Mm. And the Constitution gives you a right to follow the Bible. It gives you a right. And so we need to understand our Constitution. Get your little pocket version of it and understand. Because if you approach this by saying those are Christian rulings, then the enemy's going to take that and run with it versus like, no, it's religious freedom is given to us in the First Amendment, and they're upholding that.
That's right.
And this particular one is a different ruling, but you got to hear Dr. Ben Carson does a great job of explaining it. Watch this.
Seller, One Nation, a neurosurgeon and a Fox News contributor and doctor, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Experts nice on both sides, the right and the left, thought this decision ultimately could gut and really cut the heart out of Obamacare. What do you make of what the judges have just ruled?
Well, you know, this is completely what I've expected, and there'll be more revelations as time goes on. But basically, the Obama administration had been, along with the Internal Revenue Service, saying they could do pretty much anything they wanted. It states very, very specifically in the law, the ACA, that subsidies were going to come through the state exchanges. And many of the states decided that they were not going to set up these exchanges. And the administration decided, well, we can give them subsidies anyway. Well, it doesn't say that. That's not part of the law. And you can't just come along and change the law at will. Basically, that's what this is saying.
Well, you think
and
this is
I think
a,
it will go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I don't know what they do. I don't know what your sense of it that is, Ed, but we'll read more about it and probably summarize and figure out an opinion as we move forward. But this... it almost sounds like the Supreme Court's got a redo on its hands if it wants or chooses to go that way.
Well, it's probably good because I suspect some of them probably have had some second thoughts about their initial pass on this. And it's good. I actually am very pleased with what I'm seeing happening. Also, you know, when the employer mandate hits after the election, a lot of people are going to be extraordinarily alarmed. And all of those things are going to converge together to open the eyes of the people. And I want people to know for sure, everybody, I think, should have good health care. We have the ability to do it, but it doesn't have to be done through the government. And this is really the issue, government control of your life or individual control, individual responsibility, which will help bring that whole medical system into the free market economic system, which will lower costs and improve quality.
There was a story that broke late yesterday where 4.5 million are being granted another exemption from Obamacare. And this deals with 4.5 million people who live in the five U.S. territories. That's like Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. I imagine a lot of Americans didn't know that they were even covered under Obamacare. Anyway, they've been exempted, which brings the total Obamacare delays or fixes to 41.
41.
The number's 41.
Yeah, it just keeps going. And, you know, this is another example. Because the cost were going to be too high, it was going to impact upon the federal budget, the budget deficit, $14.5 billion more. So they said if we move that out, we can deduct that $14.5 billion and it'll look like the deficit is getting better. I mean, this is all just smoke and mirrors. And again, let's just go back to doing things in a reasonable, logical, open, clear way. It will serve the people, which is really what we want to do. We want to bring good health care to people. Why do we have to go through all of these shenanigans?
Well, we're about to find out whether or not that is indeed the case and whether it plays out quickly for you and it plays out for you. You made news in Colorado in the last couple of days. You want a straw poll out there? And, you know, you turn on the radio and you hear this group drafting you to run for the White House, to run for the presidency. I mean, what is your view on that right now? I'm sure you're complimented by it, but is it something you'd make a move on?
Well, you know, I certainly didn't give it much thought early on, but every place I go now, you know, I was at a Costco book signing last night. There were just hundreds of people. So enthusiastic. It happens every place I go. You know, I can't simply ignore it. So I am starting to think about it, but it certainly wasn't in my bucket list when I retired.
Still?
But I'm thinking about it.
I got you. You got some time. We'll talk again. Thank you.
Right,
your
thank
timing
you.
Was perfect given this ruling we just got out of Washington. Dr. Ben Carson,
absolutely.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
The federal courts have made this ruling. So what's going to happen now? This is going to go to your Supreme Court, which remember they're equal to the executive and they're equal to the congressional part, the legislative part. And they're going to look at this and what they're going to, like Dr. Ben Carson said, he believes they're going to rethink. I really believe they are. It's really strange. I mean, this is very, by the way, if you don't know this or not, it's awkward what's going on. Because these are intelligent, American-loving people that are making decisions that is changing America as we know it, mm-hmm. without the agreement of the people, because they believe they know what's best for America, when that's not what a democracy is. That's not what a representative government is. It's like we got to do what the people want.
Yeah,
we don't tell them what they want. We don't go behind the scenes and just say, you know, this is what we're going to do. So now, because these, just like the Hobby Lobby particular case where, you know, mandated making Christian organizations, Christian businesses, the law originally through executive order said that you have to actually pay for abortion procedures, mm-hmm. or abortion pills that would abort a child. They just took it. The Green family took it there, as we talked about it, and to the Supreme Court. But it first had to go through all these other rulings first. And like this is just done, and then it goes to the Supreme Court, and they made a ruling. Keep your hopes up. Understand that this is an amazing country. It's an amazing constitution. How could these men outside the grace and the wisdom of God write 200 some odd years ago a document that right now holds the whole dark world at bay? They're saying if we could do away with this constitution, that means we could do away with freedom. We could do away with the church. We could do away with the Jews. And then Israel will be the only democracy left on the face of the earth. Mm. Or we could say, we're not going to do away with it. We're going to stand up. We're going to repent before God. You know, we're going to exercise the First Amendment right. We're going to take things to each of those branches of government until finally sanity comes. And we're going to say, remember the Constitution. Because remember, they took an oath. Every one of them take an oath. Every congressman, every congresswoman, every senator, the president, and the judiciary branch, they take an oath, and you can see this. We'll make this available to you on the VFN Torch. It's been there. But you need to read the oath that they take. And the oath that they take, they swear. They swear to defend the Constitution. So to say that the Constitution's old-fashioned and we need to go around is like, that is your job description.
That's
your
right.
job description is not to do away with the very thing you're supposed to defend. You're not supposed to be an enemy of this. You're supposed to protect people. Protect it from the enemies that are foreign and domestic. It's mm-hmm. your job. And look how the Supreme Court, even though it's recently its texture has changed a little bit, but thank God that they're looking at, they made some good rulings, yeah. constitutional rulings. And remember, it's constitutional rulings. They're not Christian rulings. But because of the Constitution, you can freely exercise your faith in America. It's important not to merge those two because they're going to use that narrative against you. Because it's not true. What is true, it's a constitution that allows you to exercise your beliefs in Jesus Christ, your faith, and they can make no laws concerning that. That's what that it yeah. says. So It's up to you to do with what you're going to do. If you have a relationship with God and you're going to walk out your faith, we're going to have to answer for this freedom. We're going to have to answer for this freedom. And personally, you know, I wasted a lot of it. And and I just, we're trying to, you know, make up for the freedom we wasted.
Definitely.
I mean, at least I didn't waste it on watching a Saints game. No, Drew, I'm sorry.
This is true.
I do want
Don't you mean a Mets game?
No, no.
Yeah, we're not into badminton. We're not doing that. Or the Detroit.
Yeah.
The Detroit Kittens or something
like that.
When we get back, we're going to be talking to you about Israel. You're going to be able to see the Prime Minister, Bibi, speaking at the United Nations, talking to the Prime Minister of the President of United Nations, just directly just saying, listen, this can't be. And also about this human shields that they're actually taking. Hamas is taking Palestinian children. You're going to see this where they gather them together. They set a rocket launcher right beside them. Probably a male in about as late as late teens, early 20s, goes and drops a missile in there. Of course, Israel is going to see that off. You can turn on your app, your red alert app, and know that it's being fired off. And they're wanting Israel to shoot that launcher out and to kill those kids. This is what Hamas is doing right now to the Palestinian people. If we care about Hamas, we're going to stand up and we're going to reveal that and say, wait a minute, we need to stand with Israel because Israel is the one that cares about the Palestinian people. Israel's the one that gave them all that concrete that they chose instead of building schools with it. They built tunnels to go try to kill Jews. And it is all being relevant now, plus how the Jews are still coming from America, going to the land, their land, and saying, I want to make Israel my home. And it's just a beautiful thing because that is the fulfillment of what God says, that he's first going to send fishermen out, then he's going to send hunters out, because I'm going to gather you from the nations, and the Jews are going to be saved, which means for the Gentiles, the time is growing short. The dispensation of grace. We need to wake up, stay alert, and realize that your redemption draws nigh. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN Torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch. Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. And we want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody. Yeah, and as a pastor, or just as a brother or sister, I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, we had this many or this. And it's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, hey, let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there, as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing. And that's saying, well, do this. And people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions, that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the multiply, it's the multiplymovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe vinefellowshipnetwork.org is for you. Or go to multiplymovement.com. He's called us to be disciples. If you're having difficulty hearing, ears to hear. It's so important. Sometimes, you know, when you're losing your hearing, you don't really realize you're losing. It's other people around you that realize you're losing it. Because you just think they're not saying nothing. Or they're not being respectful and speaking up. But the truth is, you're just not hearing them well. And the best way to find out if you're having a hearing issue is, first of all, ask those around you. When you speak, do I hear you? It could be a Southern thing too. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But also go to ears to hear, because they have a test for you. They can test to find out how your hearing is, right?
That's right. They have a great, great place. You love meeting Dean Easterwood. He's a professional, and their staff is, I mean, top notch. They have three locations on the Gulf Coast, and they're a perfect mixture between a retail place where you just kind of come on in and they kind of speed you along the way, maybe help you, and also they have a clinical side. So it's kind of the perfect hybrid of both, but they really care about their patients. They care about hearing. I highly recommend them. They're great people, and it's a great, great place.
Hearing aids have come a long, long way. You no longer have to use your wife and say, what did they say? The technology's so small that you can't even realize it's there. The question to you have, also may have, is like, well, I can't use my cell phone if I have... They even have that built in now. Well, it works off Bluetooth, so it goes right into your hearing
aid. Right.
Oh, wow. So make sure you go to Ears to Hear.
Ears to Hear.
Ears to Hear. Three locations. You can find out more at VFNTV.com and click on sponsors.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're going to go right to this article. CBN's talking about how human shields are being used. And you're going to hear Prime Minister Bibi talk about it of Israel on Fox News. But also, you're going to see him speak to the United Nations and just like, you know, back off. I mean, this is what any nation would do. But understand this. You're going to see this. I want you to watch closely in this, because you're going to see a rocket launcher. And look behind the rocket launcher, you're going to see these children being gathered there behind this rocket launcher. And they actually are huddling those children there. Why? Because they're hoping, once they launch that rocket, that Israel will strike that rocket launcher and those kids will die. That's what Hamas thinks about the Palestinian people. If we care about the Palestinian people, we need to stand up for Israel, because they're the ones that are protecting them. As a matter of fact, watch.
The IDF says it's destroyed more than 20 terror tunnels and killed nearly 200 Hamas terrorists since the start of its ground operation. Four Israeli soldiers died in this confrontation with Hamas infiltrators inside Israel's border. In the firefight, IDF troops killed most of the infiltrators. They entered Israel disguised as IDF soldiers and wore suicide belts.
Here on the Israeli-Gaza border, you can see the plumes of smoke coming from the fighting within Gaza City. The IDF has called up 60,000 troops for Operation Protective Edge. About 30 have died in the line of battle, and they find themselves fighting an enemy that uses the same tactics as Al-Qaeda in Iraq and the Taliban in Afghanistan.
They use human shields. They attempt to lure us to kill their civilian population. It's a common theme among Islamist extremist groups in this world.
Colonel Richard Kemp commanded British ground troops in Afghanistan. He refutes the claim that Israel has committed war crimes.
Everything I've seen would suggest to me that Israel is not committing a war crime. Far from it, Israel is going further than most other countries in this world would go to prevent the loss of human, of civilian, innocent civilian life. The people that are committing the war crimes are Hamas, who are both firing rockets into the Israeli civilian population indiscriminately and also using their own people as human shields. That is a war crime. Hamas want the Israeli Defense Force to kill their children, their women, their civilians. That's what they want to happen. They want to get the propaganda.
Former IDF spokesperson Avital Leibovich says Hamas deliberately put Palestinian civilians in harm's way during the intense fighting in Sajaya.
We are trying to do everything we can in order to make sure that the civilians are evacuating the area. However, Hamas, as we've seen in this operation time and time again, through the Ministry of Interior, is forbidding those civilians, those poor civilians, and it's really tragic. He's forbidding them from leaving those areas, and then we find ourselves in very, very tough situations.
On the diplomatic front, UN Secretary Ban Ki-moon and U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry are in the region trying to broker a ceasefire. During a visit to the front lines, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said they would expand their operation to bring quiet to Israel and a stop to Hamas rocket fire. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, on the Israeli-Gaza border.
I want you to see this picture. You're going to see this picture right now of that rocket launcher you just saw, but you got to focus on it. Now, this is the young man to the left. He's the one that put a missile down in that rocket launcher. Now, look behind. You see that man back there, the bearded man with the gray hair? He's gathering those children together like cattle, and they're looking. Look at them. They're looking at what's going on, not realizing that these guys want those kids to die. These men want those kids to die.
Wow.
But think about it. These men, Hamas, we just wrote a $40 million check just this week.
Wow.
Our president wrote a $40 million check to send it. Israel's providing humanitarian aid to the Hilt. And look at that. I want you to look carefully at that picture right here. You're watching it on your TV screens. You're looking at it. That man just dropped a missile there to your left into that rocket launcher. And what they're wanting to do, and you see that brick leaning up against that rocket launcher right there that just got set up. You see the man, the video, you can see this, but I wanted a still shot so you could see. He's holding those kids together over there. So when this rocket launcher lands, when Israel deals with this rocket launcher, they're hoping that those kids will be killed and they could take their bodies and parade them to the street. So CNN and MSNBC and all these organizations who got a wrong perspective will sit there and say, oh, the pain. It's like you put your kid there. You let that people put him. And this is what's going on right now. And it's called human shields, what he just talked about. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu talking with Brett Baer on Fox News about this very specific thing. Watch this.
People heavily invested in the outcome of the events playing out in Gaza now. One, a leader of a nation, and another who is in constant contact with Hamas inside Gaza. I began by asking Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu if there was any hope for a ceasefire.
Well, of course there's a hope for that, but in the Middle East it takes two to tango, sometimes three, maybe four. I think there's an Egyptian initiative for a ceasefire. We accepted it. Hamas rejected it. As we accepted the ceasefire proposed by the UN for humanitarian purposes, they rejected it. We accepted a Red Cross ceasefire for humanitarian purposes. Hamas rejected that too. So the hope is there. I don't know if it'll happen. The point is that there's one side that is clearly bent on escalation and one side that is Israel that is bent on defending its people as any country would under similar circumstances.
The administration has said that you obviously have the right to defend yourself. They have noted and been concerned about the rising casualties. Let me get your reaction to Secretary Kerry over the weekend in this conversation about your operation. Take a listen.
It's a hell of a pinpoint operation. It's a hell of a pinpoint operation.
Right. It's escalating significantly, and it just underscores the need for ceasefire.
We've got to get over there.
Yep.
Thank you, John. I think, John, we ought to go tonight. I think it's crazy to be sitting around.
What do you think about that, Prime Minister?
No, I don't want to deal with off-the-cuff remarks. I'll tell you what my experiences have been. I've been in war. I've been in battle. And when you take a surgical operation, you can't guarantee when your soldiers are being fired from Hamas homes, that is, Hamas is targeting people with from private homes, and you hit them back, of course some people are going to be hurt. That's totally different from deliberately targeting them. And you know what? The forces that went into Sajaya, this place, where there are tunnels in homes, we have to clear out the homes. Hamas puts civilians, Palestinian civilians there. We go out to ferret out rocketeers and anti-tank rocket fire. Hamas put civilians there. We asked these civilians before we went in, we said, please leave. We text them, we called them on cell phones, we dropped leaflets, we told them where to go. And those who left were safe. Now those who didn't leave, you know why they didn't leave? Because Hamas told them to be there. Because Hamas, while we try to avoid Palestinian civilian dead, Hamas wants Palestinian civilian dead. The more the better. So he can give you telegenic fodder. So this is the cruelest, most grotesque war that I've ever seen. I mean, not only does Hamas target civilians, ours, and hides behind their civilians, theirs, it actually wants to pile up as many civilian deaths as possible.
Do you worry, Mr. Prime Minister, that Americans watching the Israeli-Palestinian conflict unfold in U.S. media outlets get a distorted picture of the reality?
Yeah, of course, because they only see the last reel of the movie. They don't see the part that comes before, where Hamas is embedding itself in civilians, hiding behind them, firing on us, hoping that they'll either be immune or that when we do attack the rocketeers and their fighters, that civilian deaths are caused because they want them to be caused. I think, in general, the American public, and I say this to its credit, understands this. These are people who don't care about life. The only thing is they are using cynically their own people as propaganda fodder. And I think Americans largely get it. They know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. I don't think it's particularly true of the United States, but there are some in the West who tell us, we support Israel's right to exist, right to defend itself, as long as you don't exercise that right. Well, what else could we do? What would you do if 80% of your people were in bomb shelters? Imagine 240, 50 million Americans in bomb shelters. They have to get into a bomb shelter within 60 seconds, 60 to 90 seconds. You try to pinpoint the rocketeers, and you have some civilian deaths. Would Americans understand this? Of course
right.
They understand.
So when you
They're
hear
smart.
People, Mr.
They
Prime Minister...
They understand who the good guys are and who the bad guys. Israel is the good guy, and Hamas is the bad guy.
When you hear people call for restraint... When you hear people saying the civilian casualties are unacceptable, when you hear people saying this is enough, what do you say?
I say forward that to the one address that's responsible for all this, and that's Hamas. Who wants civilian casualties? Who wants to accelerate and escalate? We're forced to do it. What would you do? What would anybody do? You know, you just have to put yourself in Israel's place, and if you're a leader, put yourself in my place. And ask a simple question, what would you do? If you look at the historical antecedents, I think the answer is very clear. Israel is acting with great restraints because there's no other country that's been rocketed like this with thousands of rockets. We've just had close to 2,000 rockets and mortars in the last few days on just about every one of our cities. Well, the only parallel, historical parallel, is Britain rocketed by the Nazis in World War II. I don't, you know, if we start drawing parallels, what Britain did compared to what we do, we've been showing a hell of a lot of restraint. So if there's any complaints, and there should be, about civilian deaths, they belong, the responsibility and the blame belongs in one place, Hamas. I don't think anyone should get that wrong.
Last thing, very quickly, sir. At the same time, there is this six-week extension of the negotiations with Iran, with the P5 plus one. Do you worry about that? What is your reaction to that without sanctions on Iran?
Look, I think no deal is better than a bad deal. So if they didn't make a deal, that's good. But if the extension gives them more money and actually eases the sanctions regime, that's bad. Iran wants a different deal. It wants to say, I keep everything, I just put it under lock and key, and I'll put an inspector there. But that inspector could be kicked out at any time. They break the padlock, and they have the nuclear bomb within weeks, the material for a nuclear bomb within weeks. That's a bad deal. I think that should not be allowed. And if it's necessary to ratchet up the pressure, that's what should be done. Certainly don't soften it.
Prime Minister Netanyahu, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
You're looking at Gog. When you hear Iran and Russia, you're hearing Gog and Magog. Mm-hmm. This is Gog and Magog working together through this Hamas to pressure Israel to get nuclear weapons. I mean, this is amazing. But thank God for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. We get back, you're going to find out when the UN shows up to be able to try to force Israel to talk with somebody who says their own papers, their corporation, what do you call their papers?
Charters.
Their charter, well, their seventh line in their charter says, Israel shall not exist. You shall kill them or destroy them. You can't have peace with that. But yet, while they know that to be true, they're telling Israel, stop defending yourself. And it makes you think about the voting bloc in the United Nations. He is not trying to please the world. He's trying to please that voting bloc.
Yeah.
That majority voting bloc, which you can find out more about it with the Arab League on the United Nations. More from Israel, the prime minister speaking on behalf of his nation to the United Nations.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
I mean, he's, I mean, you can't be used now because you can't even talk. I mean, right?
Hey.
Bah, bah.
Proof positive.
I mean, look at this. I mean, here are these Southerners on here. Yeah. I've never heard. I mean, John's obviously from the South.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
No doubt.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. It says, like, Ush de la Blois Espanol. How does it sound country wise?
All I did was a dobo de chicken.
Yeah.
He's like, that sounded accurate.
No, I didn't see ever. Even though I did have some chicken this week, some chicken twice, seven days.
Hey, chicken.
Yes. As Donna stood in line for me. We are getting to what we're going to cover today. We're going to be talking about Jerusalem and the unemployment rate that's and some different things happening. But
this line, yes.
She stood in this line, this little small. All you got to do is get down. This is all you have to do now. Get you a chicken fryer, put you a building around it.
Oh my God.
And they will come. I mean, the only thing, they got this place called down south. It's called Church's Chicken.
Oh, they have them everywhere.
Church's Chicken. And in that, the it's basically a small building around a grease fryer. And there's nowhere to hardly stand in there. There's just a little room for the jalapeno pepper, a little room for the corn, which they now have healthy butter on it. So it's just like, it's just an artifact. And she stood there for the longest time.
Really?
Longest time to get me. She probably didn't want to cook. No, no, she did. And and believe it or not, I ordered some chicken livers, some fried chicken livers.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. And, you know, I didn't eat. It was like, they were not good. My mind started thinking, no, it wasn't. It was awesome. Chicken ash.
Ooh.
It was burnt too much. They just somebody's made a new law about chicken livers. Now you got to cook them until they're actually don't hurt you.
Oh.
So anyway, while she was there, you know, this is actually in the region that just got hit by this huge prophetic storm that happened, biblical proportions, as they're saying. She's talking to a lady, and the place is packed. Mm. So if they'll tell you a successful business, people think it's pizza. Down south, it is a big grease fryer. Mm. It's something that you can dip your chicken in flour and just throw it in there. And they'll line up all day long for biscuits and chicken, they being us. And
well, you and John, anyway,
you got to double dip it. You used to. We got pitchers.
Not anymore.
We got pitchers.
This is
the chicken man.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We want to make a quick correction. The other day, we were talking about the jizya, talking about the Islamic tax that's on what they would call an infidel, somebody who's not a Muslim, and speaking to it as if it was the zakat. As the president was actually said, he made a commitment that I'm going to try to get the zakat tax exempt, and it's like 1/6 of the zakat, which is like we would say in the Christian church, we'd say our offerings and our tithes is tax deductible. But the problem with the reason why the zakat is not tax deductible, because like 1/6 of it goes to jihad. Mm-hmm. And so that would be making tax exempt war against America. And so they couldn't do that. So just a little correction there to know that that's what we were actually talking about. We called it jizya. That's actually what they are charging Christians now in Northern Iraq.
That's right.
Who are not Muslims. United Nations went to Israel to ask Israel to stop and talk with people who in their charter, the Hamas, in their charter, their seventh article says, we want to kill Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. We want to kill all the Jews. That's the reason why we're doing these tunnels up under Israel. We want to kill them. And here this grown man talking to this other grown man saying, you need to talk to these folks. But I want you to see this. I want you to see... He's saying, you know, stop defending yourself. It's not what he's saying. He says, stop the war. All they're doing is taking out all these tunnels and all these launchers so the thousands of missiles won't keep coming over their people. Well, this is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's response as he's looking at the cameras. As he's coming in the room, he's going to address this issue about saying, hey, let's talk. They've already done that. You just heard that. But listen, I love his response. Listen.
I ask not only for your support, I ask for your moral stance. I ask you to support Israel's right to defend itself and not to sanctify the idea that these brutal terrorists can attack a beleaguered democracy, can rocket our cities, can target millions of our people, can hide among their civilians and get away with it. Because if they can, you're next. And what message does it send to Al-Qaeda, to Boko Haram, to Hezbollah, to ISIS? What does it send? What kind of message does it send? What kind of moral message does it send when Israel is being condemned for doing what any democracy would legitimately do to defend itself? I ask you to stand with Israel because it is right. Because it is our right to defend ourselves. And it is our right to exercise that right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
That is amazing. That is, they're just saying, we're going to defend ourselves. That's you would right. defend yourself. You know, what kind of moral, question are you bringing to us to negotiate with people who want to see our death?
It's shameful to suggest anything otherwise.
But if you understand how the United Nations now is made up, there is a voting bloc. There's a majority set up of Muslim nations that are friendly towards this aspect, and other nations who aren't Muslim, but they're more kind of a mixture of like Cuba and other ones that would just say, hey, we're in this thing. And so they can pretty much trump any decision made. Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing this representative from the United Nations. Now you're realizing they're not representing the world. They're not representing the nations. They're representing that voting bloc.
Exactly.
Because they sent them there to tell in their face, when this grown man knows that you're telling Israel to die, you know, be destroyed. Yeah. The second they stop fighting is the second they're gone and they're not going to stop. And it's very encouraging to see that they're just standing up and speaking truth to the United Nations. Yeah. And we just heard the prime minister or the ambassador, Israeli ambassador to America just yesterday. We apologize for any of that not good video footage right there. But he said it's time for the UN to find a moral compass and it's time for the world to find a moral backbone.
Right.
And he just said, you know, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu just said, you know, that what kind of moral response would that be? Are we sending to these terrorists?
Yeah, none.
Yes.
when we ignore them and we pacify them, I'm talking about the world and UN, that we're giving them legitimacy and we're saying that it's okay to continue to do that. And you know, when good is being called evil and evil is being called good right in your face, you'd be greatly concerned.
Yeah, don't worry about popularity at that point. Just get on the right side.
That's it. Stand.
Get on the right side, even though it may cost you everything, including your life. Speaking of Israel, I am very excited. You got to see this. Jews are still continuing to move to Israel. God is calling them there. Remember, this is what he said in Jeremiah 16:16. But now I will send for many fishermen, declares the Lord, and they will catch them, the Jews. After that, I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt you down and bring you to this holy land. God's actually gathering his people from around, and they're still coming, even the misses. As a matter of fact, take a look at this segment.
The conflict between Israel and Hamas hasn't stopped people from immigrating to the Holy Land. Several hours ago, a plane full of American Jews landed in Tel Aviv. George Thomas brings us that story from Ben Gurion International Airport.
This morning, Ari Benjamin Pfeffer, his wife and four children from Bucks County, Pennsylvania, landed at Tel Aviv's Ben-Gurion Airport. They were greeted by Israel's prime minister.
It's good to see you on any day, but it's especially good to see you on this day.
Pfeffer and 230 people from the United States and Canada made Aliyah, or immigrated to Israel.
It's very important for all Israelis and all Jews to understand that this is our homeland.
One of the youngest arrivals was this little guy. The oldest was this 89-year-old from Chicago.
The moment you put your foot on Israeli soil, what was that like? Tell me about it.
Quite exciting.
The former chief rabbi of Israel told CBN News their presence in Israel is an answer to the ongoing rocket fire and conflict with terrorists in Gaza.
Our victory is on the shoulders of these children, sons and daughters of Jacob, who came to build their home.
Max Kalber from Chicago is not only becoming a citizen, but is joining the Israeli military.
The fact that the situation is not so great here, it just makes me, that's the reason why I'm coming, makes me feel strong about what I'm doing.
Each new immigrant gets this booklet, What's Next? A Guide to Your First Steps in Israel. By the way, 26 of the new immigrants will be living in the southern Israeli cities of Ashkelon and Beersheba, epicenter for so many of the rocket attacks from Hamas. Pfeffer's new home will be close to the Gaza border, but that doesn't scare him.
That we're not going anywhere. That we're firm, we're entrenched, this is our place, we're comfortable, and, you know, do what you will, but we're immovable.
The trip was co-sponsored by Nefesh B'Nefesh, a group that has helped more than 40,000 individuals settle in Israel. The group's leader says their efforts send an unmistakable message to the terrorists who want to destroy Israel.
Enemies think that they can knock at the Jewish people, that they can destroy the Jewish people, that they think that they can deter the Jewish people. And with all the rockets, not one single Jew canceled their plans to move to Israel.
George Thomas, CBN News, Tel Aviv, Israel.
Take a look at this picture one more time. This is when they came down and they got out of that plane and these just came to Israel, the land of Israel that God has blessed. He said, I'll bless you in this land. When they knelt down and they kissed that ground. When I saw that this morning, my heart just melted. I began to weep. And I believe God is just showing us this time is coming, that God is gathering the Jews in the land. He's going to save the Jews. He's going to bless them. And listen, this dispensation of grace, this time where the full number of the Gentiles come in. Then the blinders are removed and they see Yeshua, the Messiah, as Lord. I mean, think these things, these days are growing close.
Yeah.
Any way you can, by standing with VFN TV and Data Radio Program, you are helping to stand with Israel. As you can tell, we stand up for God and country in that order and Israel. Thank you to all of our sponsors and thank you to all of our partners.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com
on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.